Our first scripture reading for this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11 to 14. Our first scripture reading in the Old Testament is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11 through 14. Here is God's holy word. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you. And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. From the Old Testament, we move to New Testament, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, first 12 verses. Last week, we talked about the love, especially brotherly love, which is one of the core virtues all Christians should have. And today, we are going to focus on the hope, another Christian virtues. The living hope. So we are going to focus on the three verses from 1 Peter chapter 1, which is verse 3 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. I'd like to read from verse 1 through verse 12 to understand the context. Here. Again, here is God's word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Amen. South Korea, my home country, has had the highest suicide rate in the industrialized world for 10 consecutive years. 13,836 people committed suicide in 2014. An average of 38 people per day take their own life. There are many causes: psychological despair, physical pain, economic difficulties, family problems, and so on. For the youth, we fear the news of suicides the day after the administration of SATs in Korea. Why and what makes people take their own lives? Suicidal persons are predominantly persons with no hope. All human beings cling to some kind of hope. When the hope is cut off, many people fall into despair. In the words of one pastor, despair is inconsolable because it comes from losing an ultimate thing. When you lose the ultimate source of your meaning or hope, there are no alternative source to turn to. It breaks your spirit. Hope is the anchor that stops the drift. And if suicide is the result of lost hope, where did suicidal persons place their ultimate hope? What is the source of their hope? The recipients of Peter's letter were called as the elect pilgrims in verse 1. The theme of pilgrim life is main and is repeated many times in this letter. They were strangers in that region, just like all Christians are and should be strangers and pilgrims in this world, because here is not our homeland. Even the time of which Peter wrote this letter was the early 60s, when sufferings and persecution for Christians were escalating in the territories of the Roman Empire. I mentioned last week, Nero's great persecution of Christians was coming. So the Apostle Peter talks about a living hope in the letter to the saints in Asia Minor. And the living hope the Apostle Peter talks about in this letter is unlike any other hope non-Christians hold to in its foundation, nature, and motive. This living hope the Apostle Peter brought up in his letter sustained the Christians in Asia Minor in the first century through the difficult trials they were facing. And his message is very much applicable to us today who live here in the United States in the 21st century. Through this message, especially from 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, we are to learn the principle that as Christians, we are called to praise God because of a living hope. So pilgrims, praise God because of the living hope. Today, many people around the world are thinking and talking about Christ's resurrection. And there even would be many people around the world who come to church today for the first time. However, Christ's resurrection as well as his death should be meditated and commemorated in our life every day, Monday through Saturday, and also in our worship on every Lord's Day. And the living hope we are going to look at this morning flows from Christ, flows from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we see this morning is the hope founded in the past. The hope founded in the past. We Christians have the living hope because of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. We have a living hope today because of Christ's resurrection from the dead in the past. Now, to say that all human beings cling to hope is not to say that all human beings have a true and living hope. Hope sometimes is falsely grounded, and thus it fails. However, a true and living hope Peter is talking about is the one that is unfailing. This living hope cannot be derived from any other source except the resurrection of Christ. Let's look at verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. At this point, we needed to think about what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means and why it is significant for all Christians. Our Lord's resurrection accomplished many things, one of which is justification. Christ's resurrection is his vindication and declaration that he indeed was perfectly righteous. Therefore, it is a suitable offering to appease the wrath of God and is a firm basis upon which we can be declared just before the Father. As well, in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, 20 to 28, we see namely the defeat of death and Christ being raised to life as the first fruit of the resurrection of his people. Christ is presented as the conqueror of our enemies, death and sin. By our sin in Adam, death was assigned us as part of the divine curse. But by defeating the power of death, Jesus rendered it powerless over his people. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. If Christ is not risen, then the apostles were liars, and our faith is vain. If Christ is not risen, we are still held guilty for our sins. No forgiveness has occurred. As one theologian, John Murray, sums up, Christ in his death and resurrection broke the power of sin, triumphs over the God of this world, the prince of darkness, executed judgment upon the world and its ruler. And by that victory delivered all those who were united to him from the power of darkness and translated them into his own kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hope is found in Christ alone. Hope comes from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to remind you of David's word in Psalm 37, where he cries out, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked." For me, this psalm definitely applies to Christ, his resurrection. In Greek word, the word translated resurrection is a compound word, anastasis. Ana means again, and stasis means standing or rising. So the direct translation would be rising again. So in Psalm 37, David is calling Jesus Christ, who is risen again from the dead, who breaks all our enemies and must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Thus, there is no hope without Christ, because his resurrection brings living hope into our life. Without Jesus Christ, our hope is in vain. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something difficult to believe. It was hard to believe for those who lived 2,000 years ago, and it is difficult for those who live today. However, the resurrection of Christ is a reality upon which our faith stands. Just like this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote was a real letter written or sent to real people living in real places. So this story of a true man and true God risen from the dead is real. Do you believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead? Children and young people, do you believe this as a reality? We must, for this is the source of our living hope. Our hope is founded in this truth. The resurrection of Christ in time and history. Now, how does this living hope apply to us who live in the present? What does it mean that we are holding a living hope? What is the importance of a living hope for us in the present? We will now consider this living hope applied in the present. We see in our second heading this morning, the hope applied in the present. The hope applied in the present. We, as believers, find our hope in Christ. Psalm 39:7, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." Psalm 71:5, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." Colossians 1:27, "Christ is in you, the hope of glory." Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things are seen, not seen." If you go to chapter 3:15 of this letter, Peter is saying that people around you might ask you what reason you have for the hope that is in you is. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How can you hold on to that hope although you live in this harsh world with the people who hate you and persecute you? Like me, you also have problems and you are struggling with financial problems, health conditions, and your children who break your heart. But where does your hope come from? People around you ask you the reason. We will let them know our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ, who is with us. My hope is in Him. So, as the people of God who hope in Him, we are called to praise Him. People called us to praise Him. Look at verse 3 again with me. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We can find the three reasons why we praise the God while we walk in this life. You can find three reasons in verse 3. First, praise the God who has begotten us again. I spoke earlier about how the word resurrection is a compound word in Greek. Here, the expression of our regeneration is also a compound word. To beget plus again. The text says, God and Father who has begotten us again. And this compound word, to beget again, having the same prefix as the word resurrection, is only found in 1 Peter. Only Peter used this word in the entire Bible. We are born again through Christ rising again. So we praise the God who has begotten us again. Second, praise the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save you and me. And He became our Father as well because He adopted us as His children. So we praise the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Third and last, praise the God who has abundant mercy. According to His mercy and His loving kindness to you and me, He has begotten us again, and now we hold a living hope. He has adopted us as His children, and now we hold a living hope. Therefore, praise Him as the people who hope in Him. These look like very simple and easy points. However, the heart of this praising life is that we are to praise God in all circumstances of life, even in the midst of the trials of life. Even when we lose the things that we hold dear in life. And even when we find ourselves in desperate situation. The call is for us to remember to praise God in all circumstances. How can we do that? Here, we remember that we have the promise of Christ's Spirit as we live in this present age. The Holy Spirit has been given to God's people and the church. Thus, we rely on His Spirit as we face trials in this earthly life. Back into our scripture reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, the well-known passage of the dry bones especially illustrates people who lost their hope in verse 11. Here, just like our first point, God gives us the picture of the resurrection of Christians. Then, in verse 14, God promises that He will put His Spirit in us. We shall live, and the Spirit will help us cling to and rest on the living hope. Our Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Strengthener will be with us. Because of that reason, we can persevere as we live in this world. Then again, we pilgrims praise God because of the living hope. And verse 4 and 5 continue to talk about the living hope. Especially they explain the nature of the living hope and the nature of the inheritance reserved in heaven for us, which is incorruptible and undefiled. Listen to verse 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our third and last heading then is the hope in the future. The hope in the future. To begin with, turn in your Bibles with me to Acts 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 24. Here is one story on Paul and Silas's missionary journey. Paul and Silas met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owner much gain by fortune telling. Can you see there? Look at verse 19. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. After Paul expelled the demon from the slave girl, her masters realized that their hope of making money was gone. After they lost their hope, they became angry, accused Paul and Silas, and stood against God. The same Greek word, hope, in this text is used in 1 Peter, today's message. However, the hope they held to was not same as ours. This is one example of dead hope. Which is failing and falsely grounded. The masters of the slave girl followed dead hope. Now, of course, we need clothes, food, and money, and so on. A stable job and a comfortable house are important. We don't deny that. This is the reality of our life. However, the problem is that our hearts are too easily inclined toward those things to give us hope in this earthly life. Remember what Paul said to the church in Colossians 3:1-3 says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." When we think of the Christians living in the first century in very harsh land, they were struggling with matters of life and death. Today, we concern ourselves with what ball games are playing tonight, what maker of a cell phone is better, etc. Now I'm not talking about you to live like a monk, but I'm asking you to consider where your heart is. Is your heart inclined toward earthly things or heavenly things? We should remember that all earthly things will fade away and be defiled. The inheritance God promised his people is incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. We should remember this inheritance reserved for us in heaven that is so much greater than any inheritance of this world. There is no ultimate hope in earthly things. Yet, there is the only ultimate hope in the heaven. This inheritance, this hope, provides for us the motivation to live in this present world. We can leave this world today because we are sustained by His promise day by day, longing for our inheritance reserved in the heaven. Not only the inheritance, but our hope is also guided in the future by the power of God. It is God's power that makes our salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This last point is about our future. Continuing. Our perfect salvation, our glorification in the future. Remember that the original recipients of Peter's letter were persecuted Christians in Asia Minor. They were facing the possibility of death because of their faith. So the matter of death was most likely in the forefront of their minds. It is very likely that they had fears about dying. But more than that, they were probably afraid of the uncertain future after this life. To those with such fears, Peter confirmed that God, by his power, is keeping their salvation. The verb to keep in verse 5 is a military word in the original text. What is the significance of this military word? Think about soldiers in a war. If the government does not care of injured soldiers in a war, while the war bereaved, who will fight for the country? All soldiers should be assured of the care they will receive before they go to the war. In like manner, Peter is showing the very certain future of Christians. Those who face martyrdom, as well as those of us who are in spiritual warfare. At this point, let me ask you one question. Have you ever doubted God's power, which keeps your salvation in eternal security? Even in Christian circle, there are many professing Christians who do not believe Christ's resurrection as a historical fact. And there are many Christians who pursue the inheritance of the earthly things more than the inheritance in the heaven. And there are many Christians who do not believe in God's eternal security. We can be weary in our faith to God, but we do not lose our salvation. Listen to what John Calvin says. How weak soever we may then be, but our salvation is not uncertain, because it is sustained by God's power. As then we are begotten by faith, so faith itself receives its stability from God's power. Hence is its security not only for the present, but also for the future. Christians, we responded to God's calling and the Spirit's conviction by and through faith. Even this faith was empowered by God. Also, our continued faith in God is the evidence of God's keeping power. He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it to the end. Peter is assuring Christians that God's power, his absolute power, will lead us into eternal life. as stated in Psalm 66:9, truly He holds our soul in life, now and forever. Thus, we can stand firmly on the assurance of God's power and our last salvation. This is the living hope guided in the future by power of God. Let me conclude this sermon. For me, the word hope always recalls its autonym word, desperation or despair. And this also brings to mind one scene of the pilgrim Christian in the book of Pilgrim's Progress. One day, Christian and his friend Hopeful are seized by the owner of the meadow, the giant Despair. Giant Despair drags them to his stronghold, Doubting Castle. The nasty and stinky dungeon. Do you remember what the wife of Giant Despair, whose name was Defeatance, suggested to Christian that he might get out of this place? Take your own life. Anyhow, you are going to die. Then what did the Giant Despair supply to Christian? The knife, the rope, and the poison. It's your choice to use one of three. This is the world where we live now. When we live in this world without hope, we will meet despair. Then our final choice might be the knife, the rope, or the poison. This is often the ending for people who do not have hope or who lose their hope as they face difficulties and problems in this life. However, we will not choose one of the three. Rather, we will endure our difficulties and rejoice because of our hope, the hope in Christ. We will praise God because of this living hope. Christian and Hopeful at the Doubting Castle did not take their lives, but they hoped in God and prayed to Him. And God answered. Christian suddenly remembered, what a fool am I? I have a key in my bosom called promise that will open any lock in Doubting Castle. As Bunyan noted, precious promise, the promise of God in Christ are the life of faith. How often do we neglect God's great and precious promises in Christ Jesus, while doubts and despair keep us prisoners? Do you hold the key of a promise Christ gave to you? Homelessness or despair are not the world you have. The world, living hope, is the world you are holding. The resurrection of Christ in the past brought this hope to us. The inheritance in the heaven makes us hold fast to the living hope. The power of God will complete our salvation in the future. So we praise Him while we live in the present. This is our hope, our living hope. This is the implication of our hope for the whole of Christian life. And now, the call given to us is that day by day, wherever we are and in whatever we do, we praise God because of this living hope. So pilgrims, praise God because of this living hope. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the word we heard this morning. The living hope in Jesus Christ we have is a true hope. O Lord, give strength to us to grab this living hope whenever and wherever we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.